Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
J. Will and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Jason Fitz, Monica McNutt, sitting with Keyshawn.
Yes,
we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's 4th of July weekend. We got fireworks coming this weekend. But we had fireworks last night in the NBA as the Bucks came out and got it done without Giannis against the Hawks, who obviously were without Trae Young. So there's a lot to take away from the game, most notably what they did and what can move forward into Game 6, which will be, by the way, tomorrow night on ESPN Radio. You do not want to miss it. So we'll head straight over to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by John Barry, ESPN Radio NBA analyst. You've heard him on the call. So, John, what adjustments were made in this game that helped the Bucks actually get this done?
Basically, they tried harder. I think in game four, you know, hearing the news of Trae Young, they just kind of relaxed and, you know, weren't ready for a wounded animal, if you will, that just played harder and played with desperation and determination. And nothing much changed. I mean, I think Mike Budenholzer decided to stay big for the better part of the game, started Bobby Portis in place of Giannis. And that big lineup stayed out there. So they switched everything. Brook Lopez did a good job when he switched out onto the guards. And obviously, offensively, Brook Lopez was terrific. And Milwaukee pounded the paint, 28 points in the paint in that first quarter, and that was kind of the knockout blow.
JB, how, if Trae Young was able to go, how would that have changed the game as a whole? Not just Milwaukee's thought process, but the game as a whole?
Well, first for Milwaukee, they were switching everything in game one, and Trae Young had 48 points. So they started to go small, you know, throughout the next couple of ball games. So I don't know if Mike Budenholzer will do that again in game six if Trae Young goes. And obviously for Atlanta, I mean, he's the centerpiece of everything they do. So we watched him warm up. It was very brief, and he was in major discomfort, just really had nothing for that right foot. And I don't know what the status will be for Saturday. They're obviously in a must-win situation. So if he has an opportunity to go, I think we're going to see him.
When you watched him warm up, could you, the little bit that you saw, though, even though he didn't play in Game 5 and you've been on the court before, no, did it look like, okay, if he rests up a little bit more, a couple more days, that he may be able to possibly go in Game 6?
No, it was, I mean, he couldn't plant. Every time he jumped and landed on it, he was grimacing. And I don't know what another, whatever, 36 hours till the next game will do. I would just tend to guess that I doubt that we see him. I don't think we see Giannis. I mean, a knee sprain of that magnitude, I can't imagine that he could play within, you know, at least a week to 10 days. I think they're both going to be out, and so I don't know what we're going to see. I mean, Milwaukee's a box of chocolates. I never know what we're going to get on a night-to-night basis, so I don't know if they can finish it off tomorrow night.
That is such a nice way to describe the ups and downs that the Milwaukee Bucks come with, John. All right, so look, we go back to Atlanta for the next game. It felt like to me a lot of last night was powered by home court advantage, and State Farm Arena is going to be absolutely rocking. If you had to implement a strategy for the Hawks to get this done, what is it?
Well, I think they got away from their ball movement. In game four, without Trae, they had 26 assists, I believe, in that game. And the ball was hopping. And I thought last night they just fell into a lot of one-on-one, a lot of contested jump shots. And they're not going to be able to win a game that way. And they need to move it. They need to play better defense. And again, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, is how you come out and your demeanor and your desperation and determination. And last night, clearly it was Milwaukee, and game four clearly was Atlanta. So if both stars are out again, I mean, it should be a level playing field. Both of these teams are playing for, obviously, the big prize to get to the NBA Finals. That shouldn't be an issue. But, you know, schematically, Atlanta has to trust one another a little bit more and get out of that one-on-one offense.
John, a couple of times you've mentioned sort of the effort and the explosiveness from game four for Atlanta, from game five for Milwaukee. Why is it so maddeningly inconsistent?
I don't know. You know, I think obviously in game four, when you find out Trae Young's out and you're up 2-1, I think Milwaukee just felt like, hey, we put our uniforms on, walk out there. we're winning this game because they're going to be deflated. They don't have their best player. And that's not the way it works. I mean, these guys are professional players too. And when a star goes down, there's opportunity for somebody to step up. And a lot of people stepped up for Atlanta in game four. And a lot of people stepped up last night for Milwaukee. Obviously, Portis goes into the starting lineup. He played great. Brooke Lopez had a career high in his playoffs. So it's a challenge, and guys should be ready. I mean, that should never be a question, how hard you're going to play in a ball game, particularly when you're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
John Berry, ESPN NBA analyst, joined us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. John, what Chris Paul in the finals took the Suns down, you know, being the leader, knocked 41 down the other night, came over from OKC. What would Phoenix be? It was all about the Lakers coming out of the West, maybe even the Clippers. But Chris Paul has found himself resting up and smoking cigars, enjoying this moment right now. What does this do for his legacy, getting the Suns into the finals?
Well, I'm just happy for him because I can't think of another NBA player that deserves to get a shot at a title than him. He's had so many heartaches, a couple of 3-1 lead in conference finals that they blew, and he never got an opportunity to do what he did the other night. He had the best half of basketball he probably has had in 16 years, 31 points and putting a team away. He was sensational. And he's been an incredible point guard for all of those years, a tremendous leader. And to finally validate that with a trip to the NBA Finals, I guess he needed it. I mean, I know he wanted it more than anybody. And you know how tough people are on players if you don't get it done. I think they're going to get it done. No one's played better than Phoenix. No one's played more consistent basketball than the Phoenix Suns. And I couldn't be more excited for a guy that has really meant a lot to this league. And obviously has meant a lot to the Phoenix Suns.
John, as always, we appreciate your time. You're grinding. You're doing great work. Don't forget, check out. John will be on the call for Game 6 tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. John, travel safe, my friend. Thanks so much for giving us the insight.
Okay, you got it.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio. Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz, sitting with Keyshawn Johnson. Speaking of Chris Paul, we're going to have a little bit of fun here. We're going to do a little bit of resume action. So yeah. We're going to play a game here, a little blind resume.
First of all, let me just say that this game was birthed out of y'all tripping yesterday. Throw this while your eyes are behind that paper.
Birthed out of y'all tripping?
Y'all tripping.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that mean you came up with the idea? Is that what we're saying? Like, Monica, you came up with the idea?
Yes, this is my idea. This is my little baby for the show today, my contribution. And y'all tripping, just to clarify, is that you guys were not thinking correctly yesterday when you were trying to have an honest conversation about how legacy is defined when we talk about NBA players. So come on, let's go.
All right, so we're going to do a little blind resume fun here. They'll give us a resume. We don't know what player's what, and then we'll decide who's the best of these, right? Like, so that's the basic scoop of what we're going to do. This is all birthed from Monica McNutt, things I never thought I'd say on morning radio. And all right, let's go. Let's see what we got here.
Please say y'all tripping for me.
Y'all tripping.
There you go.
I'd like to say it a little more stilted. Y'all are tripping.
There you go.
I'm going to put the G on the end of it and really make everybody uncomfortable.
And add an R. Mm-hmm,
all right, yeah. So up first, we've got a resume that gives us 8 All-Star appearances, 7 All-NBA appearances, and 5 assist championships, or 5 times they led the league in assists. We've got next resume, we've got 10 All-Stars, 11 All-NBA, and 9 assist champs. And then lastly, we have 11 All-Stars, 10 All-NBAs, and 4-time assist champ.
So these are, did they win a championship or not win a championship? But it doesn't matter.
None of them have won a championship.
Oh, none
of
them,
these players have won a championship. So are we ranking these then? Is that what we want to do? Is rank them 1, 2, 3?
I think you're trying to guess who the players are.
We're trying to guess.
I know the names.
We'll just produce the show on the air trying to guess who the players are.
Okay,
perfect. So why would you be... Okay, come on.
I'm not completely out of it.
I mean, I got no idea.
Let's go.
These are point guards, right?
I got it.
No, not all.
One may be a point guard.
One of them's a point guard.
I got it.
All right, what you got?
So which one?
Who's the first one?
Evan. Which one's the first one?
No, you're supposed to guess.
Oh, I thought Evan was teeing it up. Okay. All-star, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. You're guessing Chris Paul is the 8-time All-Star, 7 All-NBA teams, and 5-time assist champs. I was actually going to take Chris Paul as the middle one.
That's John Stockton, the middle one.
You think that's John Stockton in the middle?
I think that's John Stockton in the middle.
Okay. I think that's I think John Stockton would be all the way to the right, though. 11 All-Stars, 10 All-NBA championships. I mean, I feel like...
Should we give clues, guys?
Yeah, give me a clue here. Like,
well,
this
I don't
is,
have...
This is,
Evan, and, Evan has to give a clue if he's giving clues.
Way to put this together, Monica. I'm glad my name is...
You know what? So, you know, all right. this show
so
comes early.
Why don't I give you the options? Chris Paul, Steve Nash, John Stockton. Guess which one is which.
Stockton is in the middle.
I think Stockton's all the way to the right. And I'm going to put Chris Paul in the middle.
I'm going to put Chris Paul all the way to the left.
Okay. All right, let's see what we got here. You want to show us? All right, so we have Nash, eight All-Star, seven All-NBA, five-time assist champion. Stockton in the middle, 10, 11, and 9.
I knew Stockton.
Chris Paul all the way
Stockton.
To the right, 11, 10, and 4. Wow.
Yeah, no, the reason I could pick Stockton in the middle, because of the 10 All-Star appearances, in the nine assist champion yeah, going to, all time. Yeah. That's how I got it.
That's smart.
Good job, guys.
That was smart. Was it a good job, though?
You guys want to go to another? Now that we've kind of figured it out, let's go to another one. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. There you go.
Okay, right, now we got a plan.
He missed that shot in case anybody's watching on TV.
Okay. All right, so one of these is Chris Paul. One of these is Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. One of these is Sir Charles Barkley. Nobody has won a title.
Okay, well, we just saw the Chris Paul number, so this is a little like memory. So I think Chris Paul's in the middle, but I've partied a lot in my 30s, so I'm not 100% sure. I think Chris Paul's in the middle.
I think you're right.
With 11 All-Star appearances and 10 All-NBA. I'm going to take – oh, see, this is hard.
Key? No, it's not.
Okay,
the last one is Melo. The first one is Barkley, and the middle is CP3.
I'll agree with that. That makes sense. Look at that.
Good job, team.
That is
Good
well
job,
done.
Guys.
That is well done. Charles Barkley with the 11 All-Stars and 11 All-NBA teams. We are crushing
this. All
right,
we got one more.
One more.
I did that.
Well, let's, look, you're Batman. I'm Robin. There ain't no doubt about that, right?
We're together on this.
Yeah, I'm just running
one
through
this. One of these is Patrick Ewing. One of these is Chris Paul. One of these is Tracy McGrady.
Okay, so I'm going to put Tracy McGrady in the middle. Tracy McGrady's, my guess would be seven. We have seven All-Stars, seven All-NBA, none All-Defensive Team. I'll put Tracy McGrady in the middle, and then I will put, what you said, Chris Paul. We already know which one, 11 and 10 and 9. So that's Chris Paul on the left.
No,
and that means,
you know 9? We haven't done All-Defensive.
No, but we know the All-Star and All-NBA is 11 and 10. So.
No, I would say first is Patrick Ewing, McGrady in the middle, Chris Paul to the right.
McGrady never made an All-Defensive team?
Is that right? Oh, Chris Paul to the left, yeah, McGrady right. in the middle, Ewing to the right. I was right.
Yeah, you got it. You said the same thing.
Woo!
I didn't realize Patrick Ewing would only be three all-defensive. I thought he would have more.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that. I wonder how much of that has to do with era and how many great players were, you know, on those all-defensive teams. That's the context that I think is always difficult. Like, whenever you hear somebody in the NFL and they're like, well, he's never gotten an MVP vote. And it's like, well, you only get to vote for one person in that league. Like, so context matters a little bit.
And then I'm assuming all-defensive team is, we're talking about first team, not second team or third team.
Are we? Were we?
I'm assuming that means all first team people, right?
I didn't think it meant all first team.
Because I'm sure Patrick Ewing got some second team all defensives and some, right?
You would think. You would have to. So, I mean, all of that speaks to Monica's point that we were tripping yesterday in talking about what is still necessary for Chris Paul's resume or what's still necessary for him to accomplish. And I think that was a big conversation, guys, yesterday. And the one thing that I felt really hit me even listening to ESPN throughout the course of the day is everybody was saying, like, it's finally accomplished. He's made a finals. But I will say, just making the finals, especially this year when, like it or not, I think there are going to be people that try and asterisk this year.
The asterisk makes me so mad.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You still got to play.
But you said yesterday, and I think smartly said on First Take, it takes away the butt for Chris Paul. But if you lose the championship in a year.
It's just a conversation.
I mean, if you lose it, does it really take away the butt?
No, he's going to be. But look, the dude got four more years of basketball left, right? He got two really Chris Paul years. He got a teach me year. Then he got me I love everybody year. So he's got about.
Farewell tour.
Yeah. The love everybody loves me year.
Farewell tour is the best.
That's the 4 years that he has left. He still has a large body of work to do. I get it. We can put him in the top 5 point guards of all times right now if you just want to do it and shed everybody else out. Fine. But I don't do that. I want to wait to see the dude finish. He might all of a sudden fall into two championships.
Are you backtracking?
No, I'm not backtracking.
Okay, because yesterday you said that you want his legacy was good with or without the championship in your
mind. Yeah, but you want it to be complete. You want his career to be ended before you start ranking and doing this and doing that.
Kid, that's not me. How we do it.
That's how I do it. I don't follow what everybody else do.
If I follow what everybody else do, trendsetter, tastemaker, influencer. Do it how Keyshawn do it. Okay.
No, I do think that there's
you gotta do it a certain way, but Key, I just don't follow everybody else's lead.
And that's you. That's you. But when we have this conversation, as you just acknowledged,
we as
this is going to lift the butt. Like, we as, yeah, we
as a whole. It's going to lift the butt, but then it comes back if he loses.
That's a whole
the conversation comes to, well, he did this, he did that, but.
I think one of the toughest things about sports talk, just honestly, is that you're writing a book report after every chapter. Unfortunately, we don't always get to read the entire book before we decide whether or not the book's good or bad. And that's just the way, unfortunately. And I mean, we as a general whole.
But I get it. I get it.
It is taking an assessment at the chapter or paragraph or stanza at which we're reading.
No, you went stanza.
Stanza, right?
Bougie.
Georgetown, man.
I mean,
you know, I mean, that's an English major, believe it or not. I hated poetry, though. Anyway, we take an assessment of where we are.
How
sure,
you
we'll have
an English
this
major and you hate poetry.
I hated poetry. Like, this haiku and this prose and this and that. Like, these people just trying to rhyme or they not trying to rhyme. Like, let's move on. I still don't understand haikus.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, we digress. So the point is, when we take an evaluation at this particular moment, I agree with you, Key. We'll wait till his entire career is established to assess the whole thing. But at this particular moment, a championship, getting to the finals in and of itself, propels him into a different class. Should he walk away with the ring, now we're having a different conversation.
And if he doesn't walk away with a ring, you might be having a different conversation.
Ain't no might. We will be.
But is it fair to just judge him solely on not winning a championship? Because a championship requires for you to have a lot of the pieces fall in place.
I tell you what, pieces will not fall in place better or more smoothly than they have this year.
Oh, yeah.
So if it don't happen this year, that butt becomes a capital B.
Well, if it don't happen this year, we got salary cap space. We'll find some.
But is there not some point where you transcend to the level of, as we just looked at a couple of resumes, Barkley and Ewing, that we rarely part of the conversation is they don't have a championship, right? Like, that's rarely part of the conversation.
Is it rarely? Or does Shaq throw jabs every day?
Shaq does, yeah, but like.
It's a jab when you playing around with Chuck. Like, I mess with him all the time about not having the ring.
But it's not like.
Me and Kenny joke with him because that's just part, we could do that. But overall, in general, that conversation is not had in the masses. No, it's
right,
not. He is one of the greatest all-time small forwards to ever play the game. That's the conversation. No one ever talks about he doesn't have a ring when you're having that conversation.
And when I look at the resume of Chris Paul, I just wonder, not immediately, because unfortunately the world doesn't work this way, but long term, I wonder if he transcends into that, even if he never wins a championship. I mean, remembering the last time the Suns were in the finals was with Barkley, right? Like, so
29 years
like,
ago.
If there's a spot here where you can say, okay, maybe he ends up being a little like Barkley, a little like Ewing, his greatness transcended everything, and just getting this team to a championship will be remembered with such tip of the hat grace that maybe it changes long term some of that conversation.
Yeah, if in fact he does not win it in the short term, people say, damn, he didn't get a championship. But 30 years from now, it would just, Chris Paul was a hell of a player. Championship conversation won't even come up, just like Charles Barkley.
When Charles Barkley
first retired, it was like, damn, he didn't win a championship. Now, when you're talking about Chuck, it's just not a conversation.
I still think it comes up, though. Now, I would agree with
only
you.
Only with people like Shaq, because Shaq
I think in the larger context, it comes into the, okay. When you think of LeBron, MJ, right? Like, it rings. Everybody's still chasing the rings, whatever. Kobe in that conversation, the rings. You can never deny what the guys that we just listed who have not won championships, what they did at their positions and what it meant to the league. But I do think when we start having basketball great conversations, there's no way to escape some of the most notable names who were excellent but still didn't come up with a championship. I just don't think you ever escape that entirely.
You're going to have that conversation, but even when you talk about a John Stockton, for instance, you talk about his passing, his Hall of Fame, his Olympics. You don't talk about he didn't win a championship.
That's not the headline, Key, but it's never not part of the – like, it might be the last thing you say, but it's going to get said. We agreed yesterday that the but is always there.
I mean, I think that's the interesting thing, Monica. When you're having these debates, do you, like, I don't feel like I say that about Stockton's another good example. Stockton, Barkley.
I'll say it about Karl Malone.
Some guys just became cultural phenomenons that were viewed differently than, you know, and I think Barkley is part of that. And I'm not sure what makes Chris Paul a cultural phenomenon, and I don't know if it happens short-term or long-term. I just wonder when you think about his greatness if we're going to have to couch it differently.
Well, we ain't going to have to worry about that anyway because he's going to win.
I do agree with that. But in particular, I think CP3's – well, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but however many playoff games he's had and how close he's been and it took him 16 years to get here, that in particular I think will stand out when we have this conversation.
All right. You can tune in, by the way, tomorrow to an interleague battle as the Yankees host the Mets. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Much more on that series coming at you next. KJZ on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Greeny, and the Bucks are on the brink. A Game 5 win at home. They're one win away from making it to the NBA Finals, where the Phoenix Suns await. We'll talk about that and more Friday with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Middleton fires a pass inside to Lopez, who turns and puts the hook in. A 30-point Game 5 delivery for Brook Lopez.
Wow. And have they all been in the paint? I don't remember anything outside it. He is dominated in there.
116-102 Bucks, 2 minutes to go.
John Barry and Mark Hestershire on the call on ESPN Radio SportsCenter right now. Even without two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Knicks. The Bucks knucked. See, I blew it. I tried, Monica. I tried to get cute, and then I didn't get it. The Bucks knucked. Get it? All right. They beat the Hawks 123-112 in Game 5. They take a 3-2 series lead. Milwaukee one win away from their first NBA Finals appearance in nearly half a century. Game 6, Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio. Let's move over to some NFL news. The NFL just passing out fines all over the place. They fined the Jags, the 49ers, and the Cowboys for organized team activities violations, according to our very own Adam Schefter. Other penalties include the NFL Management Council ordering the 49ers to cancel the first week of OTAs last month and write, "We will not break any more rules," 3,272 times on a chalkboard. The Jags were fined $200,000. Coach Urban Meyer fined $100,000. Ooh. Got in trouble. Let's get over to some Wimbledon news here. 17-year-old American Coco Gauff advanced to the third round of Wimbledon with a 6-4, 6-3 win. With a win Saturday, she would be the fifth woman in the Open era to reach the round of 16 at each of their first two Wimbledon appearances. 59% of Gauff's first serves have gone unreturned this tournament. That's the best mark by any woman left in the tournament. SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz, sitting next to Keyshawn. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Speaking of the Goodyear Hotline, we're going to go straight there as there is a ton of Major League Baseball to get to. So to get some of that expertise, we're joined by our very own Buster Olney. Buster, thanks so much for the time this morning. Happy 4th of July weekend. We appreciate you, my friend. It's Yankees-Mets Subway Series. It begins today in New York. There's no Jacob deGrom in this series. So what should we be watching for?
Two teams on edge, which is really kind of fun. You know, two New York teams on edge. The Mets have not been playing well, despite the fact that the Nationals started slowly. The Braves have had all kinds of injury issues. The Phillies have generally not played that well. The Mets haven't been able to separate themselves. You know, losing last night in Atlanta 4-3. Washington's coming on like gangbusters. So you get a sense that for the Mets about, you know, revving up their offense. And obviously with the Yankees, the question for the next 28 days is going to be, are they going to be buyers or are they going to be sellers? Hal Steinbrenner, their owner, ratcheting up the pressure on the players yesterday, saying he thinks that the struggles of the team, you know, that's on the shoulders of the players. So it's kind of a cool moment if you're, you know, watching this series, that you have two teams on edge, and, you know, it'll play out in the back pages of the tabloids all weekend.
You're right, Buster. Hal, the managing partner of the Yankees, did say that it's basically on the players. He's not going to blame management at all. Take a listen at this.
Make no mistake about it. My opinion, the majority of the responsibility, whether it's the responsibility of inconsistent offense or bad base running, et cetera, that responsibility lies with the players. They're the ones on the field, right? They're a group of very talented professional athletes that are playing this game at the highest level in the world. They need to fix this problem. They need to fix the problem because everyone, including our fan base, rightfully so, has had enough, quite frankly. It's enough.
So when you hear that, Buster, what are you thinking? Because you're actually here for a second time now.
Yeah, and first and foremost, you know, I think Hal's perspective is, look, that basically the Yankees brought back the same group of players. You know, the core is the same as the team that almost made it to the World Series in 2017. And so internally, they don't understand why they haven't gotten more production out of Gleyber Torres. They don't understand, you know, why they haven't been in a position to have a better offense than they have. On the other hand, I would say, and he completely backed Brian Cashman, the general manager, Aaron Boone, I don't think it's a team that's put together very well. It's incredibly right-handed. It's not very athletic, which is why yesterday they went and traded for center fielder Tim LeCastro, is kind of a stopgap now that they don't have Aaron Hicks. So I do think that while the players, yes, they're going to bear the brunt of the responsibility, the front office, I think, has not put together has put together a far less than perfect team.
Buster, if Hal woke up in the middle of the night with a broke out in a sweat and decided that he's going to come into Yankee Stadium the next day and make a decision on management, who would it be, though? Would it be Brian Cashman or would it be Aaron Boone?
First and foremost, Key, I think that decision, that you know, middle of the night waking up in a sweat, that's not going to come to the end of the year, at the end of the baseball season. I do think if they don't make the playoffs, you'll see a period of reassessment. And that conversation is going to start with Brian Cashman, who is essentially part of the Steinbrenner family. He's been in that job since 1998. But will Hal Steinbrenner wake up in October if the Yankees don't make the playoffs and say, you know what, we're looking for a different voice? A lot of people have asked this summer, you know, will Aaron Boone be in trouble? You're the fans chanting at Yankee Stadium, you know, fire Boone. That's not the key question. The key question is whether or not Hal Steinbrenner has confidence in Brian Cashman. If Cashman is brought back as general manager and he's got 1 year left on his contract after this year, I think Aaron Boone will continue to be the manager for years to come.
We're talking to ESPN Baseball Insider Buster Olney on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. So, Buster, important story right now around Major League Baseball. Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer being investigated for sexual assault in California. He's slated to start on Sunday. This is what Dave Roberts said about the situation.
As of now, we're kind of in the middle of letting the commissioner's office, Major League Baseball, handle this. It's in their hands. And right now, our our kind of direction was to just move forward, not do anything as far as the player and Trevor. And so our plan is he is going to start on Sunday.
Does that trouble you at all that he might pitch?
Well, there's nothing that it's actually, Jorge, it's out of our hands. You know, regardless of what direction the organization wanted to do, it's something that this is what has to happen. And so it's out of everyone's hands.
Buster, what do you make of the Dodgers' decision to leave this to Major League Baseball?
Well, and first and foremost, it's not out of the Dodgers' hands. You know, they can choose who takes the mound on Sunday. You know, I'm sure that they've been trying to gather information on this, but it's clear that they've made the decision to defer to MLB, which is looking for answers. You know, they've talked to Trevor. They've reached out to the woman in this case, and they're trying to get more information. The question is whether or not, you know, you're going to have a decision on the legal investigation that's going on with Trevor. I don't know if that's going to be resolved in time. One option baseball does have under its policy is that they could essentially place Trevor on administrative leave, and that would not surprise me. They could do that for 7 days to buy more time to get more answers.
Buster, as always, we appreciate your expertise, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, folks. See ya.
Mm-hmm. So I want to start by stressing the details in this situation are very graphic. We're not going to give them on radio. We don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. If you want to see the details, read the details, go to ESPN.com. Everything there is fully reported, and you can see some of the information at hand. The question that it raises through all of this, you know, Key, this is never an easy conversation to have, but realistically, for the Dodgers as an organization, in your mind, should Bauer start on Sunday?
No, he shouldn't. I think just based on the information, much like you said on ESPN.com and what I know from our baseball experts and things of that nature, you certainly, as an organization, want to do the right thing. You know, we're on Friday. The start is scheduled for Sunday. If you could have a conversation with him and let him know, hey, the severity of these situations and the magnitude right now, why don't you take some time off so we could get all the facts, gather all the information, so things don't become a major distraction to you on the mound as well as us as a team. And if there's a 7-day period of administrative leave to gather all the facts and more information comes in, then you exercise that if you are the Dodgers. And I wouldn't be shocked if they did. I mean, it's Friday. I know it sounds really close, but Sunday is 2 days away. And so you could still move him away from him starting based on everything.
Monica, how would you handle it if you were the Dodgers?
This isn't a conversation in my mind. It goes back to the conversation we had earlier in terms of all that happened under the Washington Football Team organization. If sports leagues, sports teams are serious about this stuff, you eliminate the room for confusion. I'm not saying that you condemn Bauer. There still is investigations going on, all of that good stuff. But you say, hey, we can't make it any more clear that we are not pleased with all of this outside of sitting you down. Like, we just need to stop. We need to pause. We will reevaluate once we get some answers and some due diligence is done. This should not be muddy. It's very simple to me. I mean, we are hollering. Again, I am not saying one way or the other what happened. It's pending investigation. But the team can make it very clear that they don't tolerate even the thought of, you're in timeout,
It's one game of pitching, though, right? I mean, it's like, let's gather all the information. Take a timeout. It's cool.
It's fine.
You don't have to pitch for us on Sunday. We got a bunch of pitchers we got.
I think that's a good and important point here. Like, I look at some of these things and say, okay, best case, worst case, right? If you look at the worst case scenario out of all of this, if Trevor Bauer, if these accusations turn out to be true and the Dodgers through any portion of this and put him on the mound, I mean, there are going to be a lot of questions about why and how, and they bring all of this attention. The best case scenario here in my mind is you just let him step away. He is a human being, can get his life in order if that's necessary. They don't put somebody on the mound that's a monster. If the accusations, again, I'll say loudly,
we're all
agreeing that we're going to let the process play out. So while it plays out, why
step
not
off?
Why not just let him
this
you know,
isn't
step
a conversation.
Away?
And to me, the Roberts sound like, dude, just no.
And on top of that, what is he going to be on the mound anyway for you on Sunday? You can't tell me that this is not something playing in his mind. You can't tell me that. And so you just, like Monica said, there's a timeout for you, buddy. Just chill. But you got to get him to understand it. However you do it, whether it's Dave Roberts, a skipper, or whether it's the general manager, whoever it is, whether it's Clayton Kershaw, his teammate, pitching mate, whoever, won't you chill for right
it's
now?
It's too messy.
And I keep looking at teams saying, how many times are teams in every sport going to handle this the wrong way? Before everybody takes a step back and says, hey, guys, there are pretty simple solutions. Exactly. They don't have anything to do with wins and losses, but there are pretty simple solutions.
But you also got to understand, Fitz and Monica, too, from a team organization, they have people that they have to answer to and get advice from legal-wise. Sure. So it's a process. It's not overnight. It's not you did it, you're off. It's not. It's like we got to let
Part
it – give us a couple days – to figure it out, but what I'm saying is speed up that process. But
couldn't they win if they said, that's a terrible word to use. I take it, I apologize.
No,
couldn't the Dodgers better represent themselves if they said, hey, we're doing our due diligence, and until we complete that due diligence,
part of the process,
he's going to step off.
I think that's coming, though. I think that's coming. I think as they continue to gather the information, again, Sunday's two and a half days away. So it's a long ways away. So between now and Sunday morning or whenever he's scheduled to pitch, they can make that decision.
I just think tonally they win a little bit. If they say, hey, while we're getting the information, he's going to be away from the team,
exactly.
And then we'll bring him back. We're going to get into much more of what to expect this weekend. We'll get back to some of the fun around sports, but we'll never avoid the tough topics. But we'll get back to some of the fun and joy next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Let's take Stump in New York real quick. Stump.
This is one of the best shows in the history of television.
Thank you.
So, you know, you got KB.
Y'all hear that out there, bosses?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you missed our Major League Baseball weekend preview with Buster Olney last segment, check it out on the KJZ podcast. Weekend Major League Baseball preview brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're basically everywhere. Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz, sitting with Keyshawn Johnson. And Keyshawn's air fiddling. I don't know. All right. So now all of a sudden, you hear the music, and you know that means we are headed into football talk on this 4th of July weekend. There was a question raised earlier, and it was really a conversation we were having about quarterbacks and young quarterbacks that Key believed in coming into the league. And Key, you mentioned earlier, Justin Herbert, bam, top of that list last year in the draft as the guy that you really had the highest on your board above all the others.
Yeah.
And that you made a comment, you know, quickly in that moment about, you know, had he come out a year earlier, would have been the likely been the number one or two overall pick, depending on what happened with Kyler Murray and the love affair, obviously, that existed there with Cliff Kingsbury. But that is sort of a what-if moment for Giants fans, because let's remember, in that draft, they took Daniel Jones. Maybe we'll see how that works out. Justin Herbert wasn't available to them. Yeah. In the most recent ESPN.com ranking of NFL rosters, the Giants are the 19th best roster. Would they be higher on the list if today Justin Herbert was their starting quarterback and not Daniel Jones?
I think so. I think so. When you look at it, though, you go back to the Arizona Cardinals getting rid of Josh Rosen, signing up Cliff Kingsbury, who had a love affair with Kyler Murray all the way back since middle school, decided, hey, he's my guy to run my offense. So if Justin Herbert comes out that year, he's now in the second quarterback instead of Daniel Jones. This is perfect for the Giants. Although, you know, you can play hypotheticals however you want. Maybe somebody moves up to get him, whatever, but that's not the case right now. What we're talking about means that the Giants would have Justin Herbert. Based on what we saw from Justin Herbert in a short period of time, the Giants would certainly move from that 19th spot somewhere in that top, I don't know, maybe 14-ish, sort of, maybe 13 in that window, so they would have a better roster because of the young quarterback. I don't see young quarterbacks that come in and do what he did his rookie year, then fall off a cliff. It just doesn't tell me somebody that has. Monica Fitzy, have you seen a young quarterback come in and take the NFL by storm as a rookie and then all of a sudden just disappear?
I got one.
I mean,
sort of.
Give me one. Non-injury related.
Non-injury like related.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Non-injury related.
I was about to say, health-wise.
What, we're taking RG3 was the –
I was
the,
just
the,
about to say my home team.
Well, injury, it? Though. You, yeah. You know, injuries. Yeah. I'm talking about fully healthy. They usually continue to grow and get better and better. But we've seen quarterbacks like Daniel Jones come into the league, and it's like, get a seatbelt on. Oh, it's a bumpy ride. It's a bumpy ride. Then, oh, boom. No longer in the league. That's what happens.
No,
it's like a roller coaster.
That was a great demonstration of a roller coaster, by the way.
You're jumping around, and it's in the boom. Where guys like Justin Herbert, they come in, and they smooth. It's not clunky. It's smooth. It just starts to continue to rise. And you go, yeah, that dude, he going to be special. And that's what you see in him.
Monica, where are you on roller coasters, and also where are you, more importantly, on Justin Herbert?
I'm in on roller coasters, and it's hard to argue what Key is saying. I mean, Justin Herbert, the year he had, not only do the numbers bear out that he's got a very bright future, but remember how he got inserted into the starting lineup? Like, that wasn't even the plan.
Here, let me stick you.
Oh
in
my
the,
God!
Let me stick you in the ribs,
Taylor.
And see if it.
Poor Tyrod. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to deny that. It would seem that the foundation looks strong to build upon.
So I'm risk-averse at the quarterback position, always have been. That's what happens when you grow up watching Todd Marinovich and, you know, Todd Wilson and Jamarcus Russell. I mean, the list goes on and on for the Raiders. So I'm the first to admit I try to wait as long as possible. So for me, before I'm going to say sweeping that a quarterback is great or terrible, I like a three-year sample size. Like, that's just sort of the general, like, that's
–
go ahead.
This dude – you don't with this guy, you can see that he is going in the right direction. You can totally see it. It's not. You can just see, as long as he stays healthy. We'll be talking about him in 10 years.
Well, I think that's the point. The hard part for the Chargers is that they're a very good roster every year, and they haven't been able to put it together to get a ton of wins of late. They make a coaching change this year. I think things are really lined up. Not only is Justin Herbert good, Justin Herbert has a lot of talent around him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard for me to look at that and not say, wow, what a great situation. I don't know that I necessarily say what a great situation for Daniel Jones. And you talk a lot about how it matters, the placement for where somebody is. You know, are they going to get the right pieces around them, the right scheme, the right coaching? So I am always a little hesitant to put somebody, you know, from one bakery into another and say it'll be a great cake. But you're right. I mean, it's hard not to see what Justin Herbert's doing and say it's special.
And I'll give you some cupcakes. I'll give you a cake. I'll give you a pie. I'll give you everything.
When pie's trash.
When you take
– pie's delicious. What's wrong with you?
When you take a young quarterback and you surround him around talent like you just mentioned, they're going to flourish or they're not any good at the quarterback spot. When you have that talent around people, you take Sam Darnold didn't have any damn talent. So you're not going to see anything. When you look at Mark Sanchez, he had talent around him. They went to the AFC Championship game. They just couldn't figure out how to advance the offense to help them maximize his potential. So eventually he fell out of favor and everything else went south. The Buffalo Bills, they didn't have a lot of talent around Josh Allen. Brandon Beam said, you know what? I need to go get this. I need to go get me that. And then they put it around, and now we're talking about an MVP candidate.
Go back, though. So your point is that the situation in New York was not on par with what Herbert was put in.
Absolutely not. Not right. Now it is.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying.
But
so
now Daniel Jones is so around a bunch of talent.
But if if you had put Justin Herbert in that situation without the – like, it's still going to be up to Gettleman to build that roster, right?
Yeah, so but we're talking about right now today. We're not talking about then. We're talking about where would the roster be today.
This is all warped on it's a good
point. And, you know, I agree with you totally. If you have a young quarterback you believe in the NFL, you have an obligation to surround them with as many weapons as possible to see if they're good.
Here's one for you who just got $100-something million, and we argued for 8 months that he would or would not be paid. Dak Prescott. Did you see him as a rookie? Did you see the talent that was around him as a rookie? Then what did they go out and do? They went out and stole a wide receiver from your Oakland Raiders and Amari Cooper to take him to the next level.
Key, why you do that? It's Friday.
No, I'm
just saying,
to the next level.
Right. I think that's
and
what you have to do.
And now he's the highest paid quarterback or one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Secure the bag.
I don't disagree with any of that. I think that's what great minds in roster construction put weapons around young receiver or young quarterbacks. All right, we've talked a lot about NIL, how it'll change college football, but what about college hoops? We'll talk about it next. KJZ on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.